Sunday afternoon, and a striped tent is set up in one corner of a St. Paul park. Inside, on the dry grass, are rows of folding chairs, a wooden pulpit, and an oversized sound system. The people are here to learn to speak in tongues. They want to be, as believers put it, filled with the Holy Spirit. This old-time Pentecostal revival meeting is designed to help them do that. There are hymns and preaching, clapping and shouting, all moving to the point where members of the congregation will come forward to the altar.
This is where the battle begins. Not with the singing, not with the preaching. It's at the altar call. It's where the battle begins. That's where the miracles begin to happen.
The congregation drifts to the front of the tent and kneels down. Ministers lay hands on the bowed heads and pray in tongues and in English that those kneeling in the grass before them will be filled with the Holy Spirit and will be able to speak in tongues.
I know, Lord God, that you are here to help and to bless and to fill him, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for the hunger that's in his heart, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, I love you, Jesus. Yes, 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 yes.
To receive the Holy Ghost, it's like a little boy is told by his father to get on the edge of the diving board, and he says, okay, son, now jump.
Greg Horn is one of the ministers. He first spoke in tongues more than 20 years ago. At the time, Horn was an alcoholic, a former heroin addict, and in trouble with the law. He was hitchhiking when he was picked up by three ex-convicts.
And they told me about Jesus Christ, gave me a tract, and said that, you know, they were like I am, but God's changed their life. So that night I went to church, stoned. I rolled a big joint about the size of a Havana cigar, got stoned out of my mind, went to church, and man, they were rocking and rolling for Jesus. So I thought, I want to get high like they were. So I went back, not being stoned. And eventually I received the Holy Ghost and was baptized. My life was totally changed. You know, I cut my long hair off, got in a suit, and started living for God, and actually kept a good job for a while.
Horn says in some ways, the feeling he got from speaking in tongues was like the brief high he once felt from heroin. It gave him a tremendous sense of well-being.
And when I received the Holy Ghost, I heard myself speak in other tongues. At that moment, I also felt a tremendous amount of joy, and that correlates with the Bible, 1 Peter 1:8, where it says, joy unspeakable and full of glory.
I quivered at times, and my head felt hot and large, and I tried to form a word, but all I kept thinking was Balaka, and it sounded so silly, but I said it anyway.
Betty Denny reads a description in her diary of the first time she spoke in tongues.
My jaw felt hard and my cheeks felt drawn forward. The words came then, hard at first and finally steadily coming forth. Never have I been so uninhibited, so unself-conscious, so completely relaxed. I felt as though I was released from everything except a very real consciousness of trying to communicate with God. And there was a deep sense of well-being such as I had never known and a desire to never stop.
And then all of a sudden, boom, I got these tongues. And it just came out, and just every time I took a breath, it was still there.
John Keppel first spoke in tongues after many unsuccessful attempts. He was overjoyed when the sounds finally tumbled out.
Then it was just so exciting, the hair just stood up in the back of my head, and it was 100 miles an hour. You know, there are tongues, you can speak them slow, and you can speak them fast, you can speak them high, and you can speak them low, and you can sing them, and you can do anything you want with them, you know. But I was going like, it was just that fast.
A genial, easygoing, retired sales engineer, John Keppel is completely unself-conscious about his ability to speak in tongues. He regards it as a gift from God.
Right now, I could give you a poem, you know, in tongues. It's, or sing in tongues, you know. On the way up, I was singing in tongues.
Okay, do it.
We usually sing in the third or fourth harmonic, you know, da 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 da. Now I got trumpet, you know. But when I sing alone, I can do anything, you know. I can do other tunes, you know. or anything that comes.
And it's a gift that makes you happy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, it's mine. It's mine. I mean, it's you know one thing. You know that God can give gifts because you got one.
This is an evening prayer service held by tongue-speaking believers at the church John Keppel attends. It's a large Lutheran congregation in the prosperous Twin Cities suburb of Roseville. The standard Lutheran hymn books sit in the racks in front of the pews, but the people at this service aren't using them. Instead, they sway to a simple, repetitive hymn projected on a screen at the front of the church. Their arms are raised overhead, palms upward, waving from side to side in an ancient gesture of prayer. The effect is slow and dreamy, as though the scene is underwater and the arms are sea plants waving in the current on the ocean floor. Then, as if on cue, first one, then many, begin to sing in tongues. Like the others who are here, John Keppel believes that the ability to speak in tongues is only one of a number of supernatural gifts from God. Others include healing, prophecy, telling good from evil spirits, and interpreting tongues. Sometimes Keppel stands up in church and speaks in a burst of tongues. Another member interprets what he says. Believers regard this as a communication from God.
Well, it's supposed to be a message for the church, and of course, I'm fighting with myself. Should I really do this? Is it really, do God really want me to do this? Am I supposed to really do this? So I say something like, Lord, give me the first two syllables or something, and he'll give me Tiku or something like that, and then it goes on from there.
And what do you think when you hear the interpretation?
I say, wow. Is that what he said through me? You know, fantastic, marvelous.
Just as Keppel sees God directing his life, he believes other forces are at work as well. He encounters them often, for example, when he answers phone calls on a local prayer hotline.
And you get calls from everything you can imagine. Somebody has got a sick cat, or somebody can't sleep, or the neighbor has got demons, or it just goes on and on and on, or they're under attack. Oh, I talked to a lady one time whose dad was from Jamaica or something, and she was into voodoo, and he put a curse on her. But I said, but I can break this curse if you want me to try. And she says, fine. So I came against this curse, and I broke it in the name of Jesus, and I could see in the back of my head firecrackers going off, boom, 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 boom. And I said, hey, something happened there. And she said, yeah, I know it did. I'm free. Said, terrific, praise the Lord. And that's all she needed. Away she went.
Say, I receive life. I receive life. I receive health. Every judgment that has been placed on me, I now break.
Back at the Lutheran church, when the tongue singing is over, a woman kneels at the altar rail, hoping to be healed of an illness she believes is caused by evil forces. Her voice quavers as a visiting minister prays with her, casting off the evil.
Yeah, spirit of death. Yeah, spirit of infirmity. Sicknesses. Yes. Bondage. I break your curse. And I say, come off of me. In the name of Jesus.
To an outsider, it's unsettling to hear people babbling incomprehensibly, casting out demons and breaking curses. Speaking in tongues is strange, and it's easy to suspect people who do it are a bit crazy. For years, scientists believed speaking in tongues was pathological because they observed it largely in mental patients. But in the 1960s, tongue speaking began to spread into mainstream denominations such as the Catholics, the Episcopalians, and the Lutherans. And scientists began to take a second look at the idea that tongue speakers were mentally ill. Dr. John Kildall, a New York City-based psychologist and theologian, researched the issue for the Lutheran Church and for the National Institute of Mental Health.
We did a study of
a fairly large number of tongue speakers and an equated, as best as we could equate them, equally religious people who are not tongue speakers. And fortunately, we found out that on average, their mental health was equal in each group.
Other research supports Kildall's findings. One study even compared tongue speakers who handle live snakes in Appalachia to a group of Rotarians. It found, on the whole, the snake handlers scored better on psychological tests than the Rotarians did. Ruling out mental illness as a motivation for tongue speaking, Kildall's study examined other psychological explanations, for example, the need for approval and acceptance. Kildall says the great joy that believers feel the first time they speak in tongues is due to approval from other tongue speakers, a select group of people who believe they have been blessed by a special sign from God.
And when you believe, you know, that God has given you, singled you out to do this very, very unusual and special thing, just think of the best compliment you ever heard in your life from the most treasured mentor that you can recall. I mean, you felt relaxed and wonderful.
Other studies have looked at the phenomenon of tongue speaking itself rather than the motivation behind it. Some studies have shown glossolalia, as scientists call speaking in tongues, is simply a learned skill. For example, researchers taught a group of college students to speak in tongues by playing them tapes of tongue speaking. Canadian linguist William Sameron says there's nothing extraordinary about glossolalia. It's simply a meaningless, largely random series of syllables.
There can't be anything spiritual in the phenomenon itself, because the phenomenon itself is simply verbalization. It's not more religious than a brick or a piece of bread or a glass of wine or anything. However, you can make something religious of it. And this is what Pentecostals have done.
The problem is the scientist has all his tools and all his approaches developed only for ordinary reality, and so feels threatened if somebody tells him that there is another part of reality, which those people who speak in tongues have experienced.
Felicitas Goodman is a scientist herself, a linguist and anthropologist based in Ohio. She believes there is something extraordinary about glossolalia, which is found in religious rituals around the world.
This is fieldwork done by an American anthropologist, and he gave me this tape. And it is Ghana spirit mediums giving what amounts to a divination session. Glossolalia is widespread all over the world, but it's not always explained the same way. You will have someone speaking a language, and he says it is the language of the spirits, for example, which is very close to speaking in tongues, Holy Spirit. Or it is a secret language of the medicine people.
Siberian shamans, Trobriand Islanders in the South Pacific, Yanomamo Indians of the Amazon, and many other groups practice glossolalia. Goodman thinks people who speak in tongues during religious rituals enter an altered state of consciousness, what is often called a trance. She theorizes that the glossolalia itself is a product of the trance. Drumming, singing, and shouting help people enter the trance. She saw it often during many years of fieldwork among tongue-speaking congregations in Mexico.
The fieldwork for this recording was done in a village in northern Yucatan. The people use rhythmic stimulation in order to get into the ecstatic trance. People clap, but mainly they shout, "Seal me," which in Spanish is "Sellame, sellame." They themselves consider it a sign that the Holy Spirit has arrived if their language changes. This is what they want to accomplish. As an observer, I can see that they are in a highly aroused ecstatic trance because they're perspiring profusely. Their face becomes red. Among the women, there is a lot of tear flow. They move very rapidly up and down, and the entire motion pattern indicates that they are not in the ordinary state of consciousness.
Tongue speakers from the Mexican congregation told Goodman about feeling warm rain on their shoulders or seeing white lights around them when they spoke in tongues. Scientists who have studied trances describe changes in the chemistry of the brain that produce a powerful feeling of joy, what mystics call a sweetness. Goodman herself experienced the sweetness during her fieldwork.
I leaned against the wall of the church. I had set up my tape recorder and was just basically waiting for things to start. And I remembered that when I was a little girl in the Lutheran church in my hometown in the Hungarian part of Romania, that we were taught a little prayer saying something like, I am here now and please, Lord, be with me, something like that. And as I remembered that instance, I was gone. What I saw was I was in a kind of an enclosure or a cave, and the light was orange, and I saw an orange waterfall of light that tumbled downwards, and on the waterfall there were letters tumbling down, upside down. And all of a sudden I came to, and I wrote into my field notes, now I know what joy is. I had never experienced that kind of unearthly sweet joy before in my life.
Human beings throughout time and across the world have sought altered states of consciousness. They use many means, including fasting, painful self-flagellation, great fatigue, drugs, meditation, and prayer.
What is so powerful with speaking in tongues is that instead of being a belief system, it's an experience. And people experience it with their bodies. And this is what changes people. This is why they are so so adamant about the importance of their experience. And this is what propelled the Pentecostal movement around the globe.
No single theory can explain tongue speaking, but its rapid spread today makes one thing clear. The ancient desire of human beings to sing and shout, to beat on drums, to make contact with something outside the rational world is not dead in modern secular society. There is still a longing for signs and wonders and miracles.
Signs and Wonders was written and produced by Mary Lozier. It was edited and mixed by Stephen Smith. Senior editors were Melanie Summer and Mike Edgerly. This program is a production of Minnesota Public Radio.